It really dawned on me at one point just how rough this outside wide receiver situation is when I see Matt Collins mess up on a route on third down, and then immediately the Bills are punting the ball. And do you know who's the gunner going down to try to tackle the punt returner? It's Matt Collins.
Matt Collins, yeah.
The dude they just threw the ball to on third down. With where Keon Coleman is right now as an NFL player, that they are only throwing out as an outside receiver and like just being a jump ball dude, they're just kind of drawn dead from the outside receiver position right now.
Matt Harmon and Dalton Del Don on Yahoo.
Who could have seen that specifically coming, by the way? Because that was a huge question, was you have a lot of slot guys.
Yeah.
A lot of slot guys. You're buttoned up there. But.
So I got a new chart, and I'm going to know if anyone would agree with this, a general concept. Just an idea.
Based on this chart? What's the chart
of? A little bit. It's Ben Baldwin's newest, which is ranking offensive series results.
Okay.
How often your offensive drives, you have a possession, does it lead to a touchdown, a first down, a field goal, a punt, a turnover?
I know going into the week, the Bills had the lowest rate of punts in the league, but I also remember hearing on the broadcast that they had five punts in the first half on Sunday.
Yes.
Because I said out loud, this is about to be the 10-punt game.
Yes.
We have the no-punt game. It's about to be the 10-punt game. I don't know what they ended up with.
They no longer have the lowest percentage of punts in the league.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine.
Not even close. They do have the lowest percentage of turnovers.
Right. Yeah, two, right?
2% of their drives land in turnovers. Okay. 2%.
Yeah.
17% punt, 9% field goal. Again, first down counts. This is every first down. What is your first down lead to? Does it lead to another first down? Like, the number one team in the NFL that gets a first down from a first down is who?
Wait, one more time. The first player.
It's a successful offensive series.
Yeah, you've
earned a new set of downs or scored a touchdown, okay. Field goal, punt, turnover. Who's number one at getting another first down?
Washington.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is right.
They're awesome.
They're also tied for number one in touchdowns.
Yep.
Would you like to guess where the Bills are? Because this is my big point I would like to make, and I'm not trying to be – this is not a hot take, I don't think. I feel like – give us a call and let me know if you think this is the right measure. I'd like to live in a world where the Bills' offense is, and I mean this, never outside the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
You have Josh Allen. There is never a time you should be outside the top 10. Should not exist.
No combination of players, coaching, nothing.
Right. Yeah, if you have fallen out of the top 10, you are in the crosshairs, no matter what. Yeah. I don't want to hear, well, you're 12th. Right, congratulations. I don't live in the same world as the Browns. I don't want to be in the sample size with the Browns and the Patriots and the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
I live a different life than them. To say I'm better than them is worthless. Mm-hmm. The question is, where do I rank? And, you know, Ken Dorsey had him up somewhere, and we were mad about turnovers. He got fired, and Joe Brady took the job, and the Bills were a pretty good offense. And right now, on offensive series results, what do you do with a fresh set of downs? The Bills rank?
14th.
13th.
Yeah.
You can't be here.
Mm-hmm. That is...
You decide who you're mad at.
It's an inept version of a Josh Allen offense.
You cannot be here.
Yeah.
You can't. It's inexcusable to be 13th. You know who they're right ahead of? Indianapolis. Yeah. Right ahead. Indy, who, by the way, has been boosted by, checks my notes, Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills' offensive series results, they are behind Washington, Cincinnati, Baltimore, New Orleans, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Detroit, Tampa, Kansas City, Arizona, L.A., and Atlanta. You can never be there. It can never be okay, even in a transition year.
Mm-hmm.
Not okay. I'm not saying Joe Brady needs to be fired, but where they are is unacceptable and should be absolutely unacceptable for them.
Right.
You are two slots ahead of a Geno Smith offense. Geno Smith might be pretty good. The Giants.
I think he is pretty good.
The Giants are 17th.
Now that's scary.
The Bills are 13th.
That is the scary. I don't want to be in their neighborhood. So
ever
with
I guess
Daniel Jones.
I hear a lot about McDermott. They'll never win with McDermott. And we get that call a lot. I had a guy write me a message saying, like, it'd be nice to hear you call for McDermott. My answer is always, who are you going to hire? Like, you want to make a change? You can call and say that all day. I don't think it's likely. And B, I don't know who they would hire. But if he were to be fired at any point because Terry Pegula has decided it's time, you find me the brightest offensive mind that you can, and I'd want to shift to an offensive identity. And I would want to say, I never want to be outside the top five, ever. Top 10, you're having a rough month, but you just shouldn't ever live there. 13th, they finish the season 13th, you get a new offensive coordinator. You can't live there. This is not
right,
the same life as the Will Levis Texans. Let me tell you the teams that are not in my sample size.
Okay.
Denver, Cleveland. Maybe the Chargers. Denver, Cleveland, New England, Miami right now with a backup quarterback. Tennessee.
Are the Raiders in there anywhere?
The Raiders are 25th.
Yeah, got to be the Raiders. Not in the same league. Carolina.
You can knock 10 teams out and say, not even in the sample size. Now I'm 13th out of 22.
Mm-hmm.
With Josh Allen, absolutely unacceptable. Cannot live here.
Right.
So if that means you trade for Davante Adams to lift you to ninth, or you trade for Amari Cooper or Deontay Johnson or whatever you got to do, or, you know, you just get things going in the right direction, you get Khalil Shakir back, and all right, you can live at eighth. Eighth is still at the bottom of acceptability when you have Josh Allen as your quarterback. So when people call and get hung up on McDermott, I don't necessarily disagree. I'm just way too focused on the offense. And many people, of course, make the connection, well, you know, they're going to always turn over coordinator, and he undervalues wide receiver, so they don't put enough in the position. And you could make a lot of points like that. Like, they overvalue tight end and running back, in my opinion, and undervalue receiver. There's a lot of different ways to do this. I'm open to however they want to do it, but 13th is never going to be good enough.
Brady's not your offensive coordinator forever if they're staying around 13th. He doesn't have to be fired right now, but
he doesn't make it to year. He doesn't get another year. He should not.
And also,
you can't be 13th with Josh Allen and get another year.
And also, that is, you know, like the fire McDermott crowd will like this one. I think that if that were to happen. I mean, if they were to be 13th in this category, and then I just saw Marcus Mosher posted explosive plays on the season, and the Bills are 10th. Like, same thing. Like, you got to be higher than that. You should be higher than that with the biggest arm in the league.
How many explosive plays are his runs? Am I getting nothing else?
Yeah, no, they're 16 runs, 16 pass.
Okay.
On explosive plays.
Good balance.
So, if this doesn't work with Brady again, like, you're not able to claim anymore that, oh, I'm a defensive-minded coach, so I'm just going to lose my offensive coordinator every 2 years. You're losing your offensive coordinator maybe to being fired every 2 years if you're about to lose another one, or if another one is about to not get the most out of the offense.
You're going
to
lose them because they're either going to be good and get a job, or they don't live in the top 10 and they can't keep the job.
Yeah, like, what is the path to getting back to number one? What's the path to being the best offense in football? What is their desperation level to being the number one offense in football? There's not really much you could do about it right now in season. You could do something. You could try to find a way to get Adams. You could try a way to get Cooper. You could try to get some other receiver that's not being mentioned here. You could try to throw Tyrell Shavers in there just to try anything different. You could do anything. What's their desperation level? How badly do they treat that? How much are they okay being 9th, 10th best offense in football? Or do they desperately want to be number one because they know every year they're capable of being number one? Because I've got a team that for 2-3 years now, that one of my biggest concerns about them is I don't sense that they're desperate to be the best offense in football, even though they're capable of it. They are. I want to believe they're not just okay being the 9th best offense.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that they are.
Randy wrote in, what's the stat called? And there's a lot of different ways to evaluate your offense, right? There's points, yards, EPA.
DVOA is another one.
A million different ways to do it. This one is just offensive series results.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to use that one, if you want to use points, if you want to use yards, if you want to use some, you know, collection of all of them into a form, I just want to say, like, is everybody on board with 13th should never be okay?
Can we just all agree they're not the best offense in football?
Well, for sure. Of course.
Right? Like, and to me, that's you're not going to breach that bar every year, but that should always be your bar because you are capable of that.
Right. For sure.
And they're not close to the best offense in football. They might be close to being good enough to even win the Super Bowl. Right? Like, I don't know how far away they are from being the sixth best offense or the fifth best offense in the league, being in the top tier. But, you know, they're not close to me to being one of the elite offenses in the league with this receiving core.
And that might have been,
I still kind of feel like they're only one player away, though, from maybe wondering if they could be.
And that might have been somewhat predictable. Like, in a down year, I want to be ninth. And in an up year, 1, 2, 3. 803-0550. So, like, anyone else have a thought on that? Anyone agree? Disagree? It's okay to be 17th. They're not. And you can pick which stat you want. But these last 2 weeks, you know, I mean, it's been clear.
Last 2 weeks, you don't even need the stat. Just watch. If you want to be eye test guy last 2 weeks, I don't know how you they're broken.
That's right, five games in, and let's be real. They had 2.5 good games and 2.5 bad games. Like the Arizona game, the first half was not too good. And a fumble.
But they can't be 50-50.
No.
They can't have a great offensive performance half the time and a bad offensive performance half the time.
That's not
good enough with Josh Allen.
Right. The goal should
be 90-10.
And that's where McDermott will probably say something to this. Like, it's not up to our standard. I just want to make sure their standard, like, I'm telling you what mine is. Mine is, you should never be 13th. Get some calls in. Maybe they can right the ship. Maybe they get outside help. Maybe, I don't know, they find a formula. Mike on a cell. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm wondering if I can be Bartlett in the study and you can be Stanley Keyworth, because I've got a whole bunch of feelings that I don't know what to do with. I feel like this situation is like, if you're a parent, I'm a parent of young kids. Jeremy, I know you've got kids. It's like you've got a really good kid who does a lot of things that are really good, but never the thing that you ask them to do. It's like you say, hey, all you need to do today is clean your bedroom. And then they clean the kitchen and they do their homework and they go for a shower. And you're like, those are all really good things. But all I needed you to do was clean your room. And I feel like that's what we're dealing with McDermott. He's got a really, really good defense and can coach up players that wouldn't be starting on other defenses. And he's brought the culture in 6 out of 7 playoff years and all those things. But, like, they've never prioritized offense in the way that they've needed to. And wide receiver has just been it's all the stuff that you guys were just talking about. It's all of that. It's you can make the arguments for and you can make the arguments again. And it would be just like that kid who you're like, well, I've actually got a really good kid. They get good grades and they clean up around the house and they do the dishes, but like they never do the thing that I just ask them to do. And so do you punish them for that? Do you encourage them for that? And I feel like that's where Brandon Bean and the Bills must be, which is like, you're too good of a kid for me to ground you, but I'm not happy with what you're doing. And so help me here understand how to work through these feelings, because it's been 5 nights since I slept, and this came up 4 nights ago. So thanks very much, and I'll get off, and I'll listen to you guys.
Thanks, Mike. I guess part of what I get to is, you want to talk about bad game management, D'Amico Ryans was horrible on that game, too. D'Amico Ryans blew the game for the Texans, and then the Bills blew it again. But D'Amico Ryans blew it, too. And watching a lot of these games, there's a lot of really bad jobs done. Really bad. Really bad punts. Sometimes you blow the game in the final minute. Sometimes you blow the game when you punt in the third quarter and the game gets away from you and you lost. You know, like, I think McDermott is an excellent defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
Would put him up against anybody. Game management, this year, that's gone back. You know, it used to be you could defend his fourth down decision-making in the face of he blew it at the end of the game. And he did make a 4th-and-5 call that got the Keon Coleman touchdown. Like, they went for that. The previous game, in the previous 4 games, they've been drifting the wrong way. So that edge that he had for years, he has started to give that back. And that's not good. I don't know. I on the spectrum of McDermott haters, McDermott lovers, I'm probably closer to happy not furious all the time, but you know, everyone's got a breaking point. Many of you it was 13 seconds. Others, it might have been this game. Maybe you were someone that was okay until this game. For me, I'll listen to it. Maybe it's just the kind of thing where I'm resigned to they're not going to make a change. I really don't think they'll make a change. What did I tell you? Over-under was 4.5 more years?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think you're getting a change for quite a long time. And maybe that's why I just kind of won't even really seriously entertain it. I started thinking about it more yesterday. Well, what if they are upset? What if another late game thing? Because all it takes is one person, really one person, to decide, yeah, maybe it's not right. You know, you subscribe to any version of this isn't the right person for us anymore. But I just don't think so.
I don't think so either. What I might need then, it comes down a lot to player personnel for this. And what I could maybe use, if McDermott's going to obviously be here for years, which I think he is too, I need him to change his attitude, or I need him to think differently about what he wants his roster, what he wants his roster to look like that Bean's going to build him every year. And we brought this up earlier. I kind of want McDermott to have that aha moment that we kind of landed on earlier, which is the aha moment for McDermott would be, oh, I can put this defense together with almost anybody. I'm throwing Jamarcus Ingram in there. I'm throwing Cam Lewis in there. I've got no Von Miller this week. Dwayne Smoot gets a pass rush that results in a big fumble. Just piece it together. It's not going to be perfect, right? The safeties on Sunday didn't help. Huge mistake by Cole Bishop helped lose them the football game. But in large part in the overall, I can lose multiple important pieces on that side of the football, and I know I got it. I know I got it. With the coaching, we can coach it up. We're good with player development on that side of the ball. We got it. So, look at the other side. Just struggling to figure it out. Can't withstand an injury. Khalil Shakir goes out, looks broken on offense. I might want the coach to start thinking that way and telling his general manager in off seasons, hey, no, you don't have to go all out. You don't have to spend $100 million on this defensive player. You don't have to spend a first round pick on this defensive player. We can do a little less on that side of the ball because I've proven that we can do fine even when we have less.
Isn't that the justification?
So I need that. That's a change, though, I think, from where they've been. I need that change to happen.
Isn't that the justification for why Josh Allen, it's okay to give him nothing at receiver? Well, it's Josh Allen. He'll just lift up those guys.
Right, but I need that to flip.
No, I know.
I need it to be Allen needs a little bit of help, and McDermott can go the other way of I don't need as much help. It's not always going to go that way. If they were to do that year after year after year, then you would probably find a defense that's like bottom half of the league if they just consistently did that. But I don't know. It's tough to not think they could, and their floor with that coach is middle of the pack almost no matter who's playing defense.
803-0550. Jay and Jerry, we'll get a phone call with you guys on the other side. If you can hang with us, please do. Happy Tuesday. NHL season begins. The Utah Hockey Club, soon to have a terrible name next year, probably.
You think they should just stick with Utah Hockey Club?
It's better than all their nominees, so yes.
I don't even remember what the nominee was. Yeti, the favorite?
They're all horrible. I'm just a hater over here when it comes to new names.
I think I've never heard you say that you like a team name. A new potential team
when
name.
When the WNBA went to Golden State, the Valkyries, great name.
The Valkyries.
It's a great name.
That's right.
There's plenty of good names out there. Yeah. Not Kraken and not all of Utah's nominees. It's not my fault they keep coming up with bad ideas.
I wanted them to be Salt Lake.
Sure, that's a good idea too.
They should have gone with the city. But
803-0550, congratulations, Utah. It's a new season for them. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
My number one thought watching the Jets offense this morning was that is not a Davante Adams unit. That is not a unit that's a Davante Adams away from salvation. I watched Buffalo. I'm like, yeah, you drop Davante Adams on here and we might be cooking. Like everybody goes down a peg. We get some players like that he can't get open. We drop Davante Adams in here. But obviously it sounds like he just wants to play with quarterbacks that he's played with before.
Matt Harmon. Yahoo Sports, he's on Football 301, also Reception Perception on Davante Adams. Right now on ESPN, who needs Davante Adams more, Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers?
Again, Rodgers has Garrett Wilson.
I know.
Come on, you clown! Throw it to your best receiver.
Right, not just Aaron, not just Garrett Wilson. They went out and got Mike Williams and Alan Lazard, and they throw it to those guys.
I mean, if he doesn't want to use Garrett Wilson, can we have him over here?
He threw it to Garrett Wilson 22 times on Sunday.
I guess. Okay.
That's not an exaggeration.
He hadn't been doing it as much before that, though, right?
I don't know.
I think his target rate, like, that was part of it. It had been a little lower. He also complained about his route tree not being the same what it had been in past years, that he was not running a lot of routes down the field. Maybe that changed on Sunday, too, but I think part of that is just your quarterback can't stand in the pocket for more than 2.5 seconds.
Well, Ben Baldwin, I asked him on request to give me the early down pass rate. Where are the Bills?
Yeah.
And they're bottom half.
Just
on
first down?
First and 10, neutral pass rate. That's like, you know, don't include the final 2 minutes of a game. The game's out of hand. You're not running out the clock or throwing in a two-minute drill. Neutral pass rate, the Bills, they're kind of around where the Chiefs are and the Ravens are, but the Ravens are a run team. But they're bottom half of the league in first and 10 pass rate. And I think what you've got here, I know what you're saying. You want them to pass on first down? Well, when Shakir is back, yes. Because I think what you've got is a weakened passing game. And one of the thoughts is, well, we'll run on first down. They ran 20 of 26 first downs against Houston. We're weakened passing. Let's run it. Okay? Now I've got second and long and third and long. And now the passing game has more work to do because teams can key in on their tendencies to run early and pass late. And now your weakened passing game that you're trying to help with the run game has actually become more predictable and needs third and longer to convert. If the run game's toast, yep. I've got a passing game that needs to convert third and eights. And what do? Send pressure and smack Josh Allen in the face. Fix it against the Jets. Jerry and Kenmore. Good morning, Jerry.
You know, you guys are missing the big picture here. He's taking care of the ball.
Yeah, I know. Five games, no picks.
You know, who cares if they win or lose? He's not throwing picks. He's taking care of the ball. You guys are missing it here, what's important in this game. Real quickly, Howard said it earlier, Ja'Marr Chase. What do you think Sam Darnold will tell you was the biggest turnaround in his career so far through five games? Justin Jefferson. Would the Cowboys be relevant at all without CeeDee Lamb? There's no other players on that team. Dak's okay. But it is CeeDee Lamb. And I think we haven't pivoted well. You know, 2 years ago, there was that run of four receivers before we took Kincaid, and we didn't have a plan. Then last year, we thought we were going to get, for the Tremaine Edmonds pick, a better compensatory pick, so we couldn't move up to where we wanted to. So we move back, and we take Coleman. Well, now that you have this collateral in Minnesota that we thought was going to be really good, it's turning out to be really bad. We're not. That's going to be the 70th pick right now, it feels like. I don't think they understand how to plan differently if things don't go their way. Because I think they had a plan to take wide receivers, but they haven't been exactly in the right spot, trading up or trading back or with the right collateral to do it. I don't think this offense is much different than it was all of last year when Brady took over. We were just lucky in a lot of those games last year. With the punt return, we should have lost to the Chargers. There's some weird stuff that happened to get us to, what was he, 7-1 or 6-1, yeah, whatever he was.
He did good things. Like, they finished drives and they took care of the ball. And in a small sample, like, that looked pretty good. Start of the season, he started out really well. Like, this happened, you know, this will be a small defense of Joe Brady. Like, everybody gets counterpunched, and then you've got to counterpunch back, right? Like, hey, they figured out this and this and this. What's your answer for that? And do the Bills have an answer in using Kincaid differently? All right, you know, all right, fine. Here's our answer. Here's our response. Because I bet they're going to really try to key in on the short area passing game against the Jets. What happened against Houston? Go look at Josh Allen's passing chart against Houston. It jumps out versus the other games where all of a sudden he's throwing down the field. Earlier games, it was short passes, quick passes, balls out. 70% of Allen's yards passing are in yak yards. We're getting guys on the move, guys in space. And against Houston, and that's the thing, like, about the counterpunch, Baltimore keyed in on that short passing game and blew it up. Shakir trying to get space. Kyle Hamilton right there, right on top of him. And teams are sending blitzes. And if they're going to send blitzes, there's two ways to do that, right? How did Houston beat the Bills blitz? They found a Ogunbowale on little dump-offs a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to do it. Allen used to do that with Devin Singletary all the time, right? Ooh, or pop it right over the top to Devin Singletary to beat a blitz. That's one way. The other way is, if you've got a receiver that can go down the field, really hit them, throw it up, that guy's going to win his matchup and beat somebody off the line, and bang, you're going to convince teams not to blitz you. Right now, I don't think the Bills have, the last two games, they have not had an answer to convince teams you can't actually blitz us. Allen's legs used to be a part of that. Now they send so many on some of these runs that he has nowhere to go. And actually, yeah, we want you on the move because we can cover these guys when the play breaks down, except for Shakir when he got behind Baltimore. So, and he rolled out a lot and made a lot of throws on the run. He was 1-for-14 against pressure, yeah, in Houston. He's great against pressure.
Usually.
Great. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league,
yeah,
against pressure. He went 1-for-14.
I do think the other thing that Jerry said, the one thing actually I might even, not to say disagree with, I just think there's a more important point to be made about, hey, they weren't ready. They didn't pivot well. After they trade Diggs, they didn't pivot well, right? Between March, April? April 2nd, whatever it was when they made that Diggs trade. Between April 2nd and right now, that 6-month period, how have they pivoted? Right now, it doesn't look well. Doesn't look great. That's not even my big problem. I think it's hard. I think it's very difficult to find your way to replacing Stephon Diggs on the outside in any good way in that 6-month span. You can do it, but it's very difficult. You wanted them to trade up for Brian Thomas Jr.? I don't know that was there for them. Remember the draft, nobody traded up. There weren't trade-ups. You wanted them to get Rome Odunze. I wanted them to go get Rome Odunze. I don't know how hard they tried. Two, they could have. I don't know that they even had it in them to get up that high because of where they were picking. You wanted them to get Brandon Ayuk. I don't know that Brandon Ayuk ever was, he didn't get traded. So I don't know if he ever was getting traded. You want them to get Davante Adams. I mean, Davante Adams hasn't been traded yet. I don't have the cap space for it right now. Just, I think it's hard. That's not the problem. The problem is they weren't ready. They weren't ready for when they were going to decide, let's go without Diggs. We think the post-Diggs era, they were not prepared. That's the problem. It's not what they did after trading Diggs. It's what they did before, where they were barren. They were already barren. And all those years where you didn't find your way, I only needed one of these guys. These weren't all mistakes, but you didn't find your way to an Amon-Ra St. Brown or a Nico Collins, who was a day two pick, or a Jaden Reed, who was a day two pick, or Jordan Addison, or one of these late first round trade up ideas, Zay Flowers. Just over a course of 3-4 years, find your way to one of those guys that can just be relatively respectable on the outside for the day that comes where you don't have Stephon Diggs on the field. And they didn't have that guy. They were not ready. They were not ready for post-Diggs life.
8030550. Today is the 9-year anniversary of... Don't look at Twitter. 9 years ago today, what happened?
2015.
Yes.
I'm going to guess this is the Jack Eichel opener.
Correct. He scored his first goal at the Sabres.
I was there.
So was I. And then soon after,
they lost that game, and I felt great.
Why'd they lose?
They lost because of an offside challenge.
Yes.
Maybe the first offside challenge?
It was the first offside challenge.
And Kane scored like right after Eichel did.
It went Eichel, Kane,
bam, bam.
Might have been minutes. I don't know. Yeah. But it was 2-2, and the goal was challenged for offside. So now I know that the worst thing to happen to pro sports from a league in terms of damaging itself for its own product is 9 years old. Happy birthday, offside challenge. Dark day in sports history.
So you say
we live with it every day.
So maybe you're not going to answer yes to my question because I was about to ask, was that the best you felt during the entire playoff drought?
No.
That night?
Definitely no.
No.
No. No, they started like, you know.
That night was the best I felt. It felt like
Eichel
scored, beginning of a new era. I know they didn't lose the game.
They lost 2-1 to Ottawa.
I
mean, that's pretty tough.
It felt like here we go. We got our number one center. That's all I was thinking about that night. part of it was I didn't think the 10-game win streak team was as good as, obviously, the record.
803-0550. One more, Jay in Hamilton. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'll be quick here. So I think ultimately what I find is, so first of all, yes, this offense should never be a sample size. You know, we had a sample size with Tyrod Taylor. We had sample sizes with Fitzpatrick. This should always be a top 10 offense at least. I think what I see this team right now, and I think we all love our golf analogies, is that this is a kind of a golfer that is playing par golf. They can hit a good shot once in a while, but for the most part, they're playing par golf. They're not coming at you with a 8-under 62 on a Saturday. And I think what's happened is they've looked at Josh Allen as the guy who has that 350-yard, drive bomb, but they do not have a short game to go with it. And if you look at the stats on a PGA Tour, you'll see top five guys who are the best drivers, but they're not winning tournaments. And I think right now, I think you guys have hit the nail on the head where I think they've maybe overestimated just what they can do with Josh being their central quarterback. They do not have that talent, elite talent, that Joe Brady at least showed he could play with at LSU. He doesn't have that now. And I don't know how they're going to change that this year. And I'm going to end here. I think that's ultimately where they've been thinking about is getting through this year and trying to put all those assets, hopefully, into wide receiver next year.
Thanks, Jay.
Well, the receiver train will be ready to go. I can't see how it wouldn't.
Well, the question, we'll see if they trade for Devontae Adams or Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins or Jacoby Myers on and on. The question next offseason will be, do you want a young guy or a veteran? Because the thing that Diggs did, Diggs supercharged the offense. It was, go get a guy who's ready today. He came in right away, and that's where Ayuk was always a good idea for me. Ayuk, as a trade idea, was the next Diggs. This is a guy that's amazing that doesn't get the alpha number one targets he should. And if you throw him in an offense that featured him as the number one consistently, then you'd have a number one. That's what Diggs was. And to trade a first-round pick and a fourth to get him. I know you could say go back and look at Jefferson, but you could never have expected Jefferson to come in and do that. And with Diggs, it was let's trade for this guy and bang, the hole is filled, not the hole has the potential to be filled. Go get a veteran. If they wanted to do that, they could decide to pay T. Higgins. They could decide to pay. I don't know.
Do we have another name right now?
The UFA free agents. Chris Godwin, the UFA, but he's more slot these days.
Yep.
I don't know. They could also just, go beat the Jets.
I think regardless, they are going to beat the Jets. The Jets. How many points are the Jets? The Jets, the Bills are going to cook them defensively. Defensively, sorry. I don't know about offense.
Yeah.
But even their defense, you used to mention their pass defense is better, but their pass rush has not been good. They do not look as dominant of a defense that they were last year. So, they still think they're a huge challenge, but I still think they're going to beat the Jets.
How about Darius Slayton for next year? That's a guy that's been hurt forever, and all of a sudden he looks like he can play again.
But what? That's my
answer.
Again,
that's not a number one. It's a guy that can play.
At this point, I don't even need a number one. Give me anybody that would start for other teams on the outside. And you know what? They might have one of those. Coleman is doing okay. It's not going great. It's not, Brian Thomas Jr. right now in Jacksonville. It's going okay, though. He's making a play or two a game.
Yeah.
He's a second-round rookie. That's about the expectation. For him, it's not the sky is falling. It's the rest of it, really, that the sky is falling.
Yeah, that's right. He made a nice play on the touchdown. He also made a nice play in the interference, because if he doesn't interfere, that ball's picked off. And Sean McDermott, by the way, is not under the... Well, maybe he is under the gun for throwing a ball there. If Allen throws his first pick, ooh, there.
Are fans as mad if it goes first down interception than pass, pass, pass? I don't know. Maybe the same.
They're a lot more mad at Josh.
That might be right. It might be more about Josh. Hey, this Saturday, join Nate Geary. He'll be at Consumers Beverages, 8505 Transit Road, East Amherst, for a Heineken Silver event, 12 to 2. Stop by, register for a chance to win some autographed Bills memorabilia. Enjoy other giveaways from WGR 550. No purchase necessary. Heineken Silver, world-class light beer. See you this Saturday at Consumers Beverages in East Amherst.
breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Is it Gladiator 2?
Yeah, Denzel Washington, I believe, is the villain in Gladiator 2.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal, who, you know, if you just want to make money, throw that dude in a movie or a TV show.
Pedro Pascal?
Yeah. He's just, we got Pedro. All right, let's go.
Maybe caller 5 right now. Win a pair of tickets to the Shoresy Fall Classic at KeyBank Center November 13th. Caller 5, by the way, at 716-221-4WGR. Shoresy competing against the Buffalo Sabres alumni. Tickets courtesy of AEG presents. Tickets are on sale. Ticketmaster.com.
I've not yet watched that Vince McMahon documentary. I want to get to that.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
Manning cast. We got a Manning cast next week with Belichick on the Bills.
What's the other documentary that everybody's freaking out about right now? The Menendez brothers, right?
Yeah,
documentary, which is before my time, so that might be good. That might be good for me.
I do remember that. I have very little interest in watching that.
Okay.
I don't really know why.
Because you've got to save time for Love Is Blind.
Obviously. Yes. Listen.
What's that, Thursdays?
It's a great season. Thursdays? It's Netflix. You just binge it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, never mind. Well, Netflix has started with some shows doing the weekly, giveaway. And not enough people know about how good the shows on Apple are, by the way.
Yeah.
Every single show I've watched on Apple is just awesome. There's Bad Monkey is the one I'm watching right now with Vince Vaughn. It's just Vince Vaughn leading a great show. It's got a huge production budget. The writing's great. And nobody knows it exists. Right? How many people listening know about the show I just mentioned exists? Like 2%?
I've never heard of it.
Exactly. It's amazing. It's an amazing show with Vince Vaughn in it. Nope, nobody knows. So weird how no show on that app, except for Ted Lasso, has ever like made it out into the mainstream.
Right, and there's talk of a Ted Lasso season 4.
Oh, they should not do that.
No, well,
season 3 was not that.
Well, if they make season 4 more like seasons 1 and 2, sure, but season 3 was abysmal.
Yeah.
Season 3 was horrifically bad.
It was really bad.
It was not funny, it was not fun.
It was
tedious, it was horrible.
And kind of depressing.
Yes, like can I laugh at something?
Yeah,
would it be okay?
It was a feel good show that decided, "Hey, what if we just become the saddest show of all time?"
It's pretty bad.
Just on a 180. That was a wild turn Ted Lasso made. Yeah.
Yeah, so if it comes back, I hope we can laugh again. Okay, tomorrow, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. Sal, check in, turn the page towards Monday Night Football. We'll be one day away from the Sabres opener. Joe, I may have gotten us, the Sabres are going to bring us food tomorrow.
Oh, let's go.
And it's almost hot dog of the day season. We're back Thursday.
All right, start thinking of L.A. topics.
Thursday, we are back with hot dog of the day guesses, hot dog sources.
The dancing dog on Thursday.
Okay.
Ted Danson, let's go.
I did not have Ted Danson.
Ted Danson. L.A.'s finest. L.A.'s best.
L.A.'s best. The biggest star. Okay, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up next.